Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
Was a urinary tract infection. And then he got, was it sepsis? And then it was another infection, and they got that taken care of. Well, now it's 3 weeks into this thing, and they move him. A lady calls me up. She says, "Is this Mr. Sean?" I said, "This is Mr. Gray." "Yes, it is. Are you the son?" "I'm the son. What can I help you with?" "We need to move your daddy to a physical therapy facility. He needs to have therapy. We need you to be able to sign off on it." I said, "Absolutely. We want the best one we can get." Well, we found one. It was the best one they had in Dallas, Texas. We got him over to this facility. They got him in. They were so sweet. See, the enemy knows how to paint a pretty picture at first. "Oh, we love you, brother, Mr. Gray. We're going to take care of you, Mr. Gray. Y'all get ready. We're fixing to beat this man down." So after all the family walked out of the room and left, the true colors begin to show. Once again, they didn't bring food. Once again, it was just one thing after another. My dad went from 270-something pounds down to 190 pounds. It was just one thing after another. So we called the doctor that was in charge. We said, "Hey, doc, what's going on here?" He goes, "What's he doing over there?" I said, "What are you talking about? Y'all are the one that called. We didn't call you." I said, "Well, listen, somebody from your hospital called us and said he needed to be moved to a physical therapy facility, and that's where he's at." "Well, we didn't sign off on it." "Okay, well, we're just telling you the bag that's on top of his stomach is leaking, and they're saying they're not prepared for that kind of stuff, so they don't have the bags to fix him." I'm like, "Is this a medical facility?" Now, you're thinking, "What are you doing?" I'm fixing to get somewhere. Just hold off for a second. So we're sitting here. Not only is our senses by what we see being affected, because now even my Holy Ghost filled tongue-talking mother is starting to get mad. My mama don't get mad and open up her mouth. But when she does, it's like a little piece of grass hitting you, but she's swiping and she's letting it out. But she's gotten flustered, Grayson, because now she's seeing her husband is not being taken care of. And now she's hearing things that they didn't say and they didn't do. And this doctor can't seem to get with this doctor. And this nurse didn't even know my dad even had cancer. It's not even his report. "Oh, I didn't even know he had cancer." "Well, yeah, they just decided to move the bladder and prostate because they wanted to. Yeah, it's not a big deal, but they do it all the time." "Oh, you're healthy. We're just going to remove your prostate and your bladder. We're good." "Yeah, yeah." So now, here we are in a spiritual warfare, because at the same time we're trying to have faith in what God has said, we're now seeing things that are going totally the opposite direction. And we're trying to keep our faith built up. We're trying to have faith in our system that has been created by man, and right now that system is failing. But here's what's so amazing about every bit of this. We finally got my dad home. Me and my sister, we're saying, what do we do? She's in Beaumont, Texas. I'm over here in Meridian, Mississippi, 14 hours away. She's 12 hours away. What do we do, Sean? I can't just stop the job and go over there and see my dad, and she can't stop what she's doing. So it's just like a battle back and forth, and we want to be there for our parents. So now our spirit's getting infected. We're getting angry. And it's at those moments that we got to be careful, because now our senses are getting heightened, and they're getting more sensitive. Because then when you call up there, my dad's talking out of his head, talking crazy stuff. Like, why is he talking crazy? Does he have another infection? We don't know. We can't find it. Well, my mama says, don't you think you need to do some blood work? Well, yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Come to find out, guess what? He's got another infection. He's got to be put on a drip again. Looks at his chart. My dad, during his crazy talk — Dad, if you're watching, I love you — but during his crazy talk, somehow along the way, he said, "I want you to mush up my food, puree it for me. I think I might can get it down this way." During this time, some things internally had not been moving the way they need to be moving. So, you know, pain medication does that to you, right? Okay, I'm going to try to stay kosher there. So he's starting to hurt, starting to have pain. One nurse came into this place, and he said, "Mr. Gray, can I try something for you?" He said, "I'd love you to try anything." He said, "I'm just going to try to give you some food that might work. I'm going to give you some chocolate with some strawberry and bananas, and we're going to mix it up like a shake. Would that be okay with you? I'd love it." It's amazing how in a split second he took that shake, he took his medicine, he loved it. See, here's the thing that my dad's facing. Not only was my dad faced with the cancer that hit him, but for almost 5 years now, he hadn't been able to taste, and he hasn't been able to smell. He's lost his eyesight completely in his right eye, where he can't see, and he can't hear well. Almost all five senses are being infected. He can't trust that what he's getting, he's tasting, what he's getting is going to taste good, because he can't taste, brother. And he told me last night, he says, "All I long for is the day that I can smell that barbecue, that smoked wood, and I can put that meat in my mouth and taste it." But during all this time, what he's getting, he's hoping that what he's receiving is going to be good. He says, "I can kind of taste that it might be sugary and it might be a little salty, but that's about all I can get from it." So they give him this parade stuff and he eats it. It's wonderful. Well, my mama snuck in a Taco Villa burrito. And she says, "While we own the move forward, Nathan, take this burrito. Eat this burrito." My dad takes it. Well, I kind of remember what he eats a little bit of it. That tastes really good. Saves half of it for later. But he's talking out of his mind. And I said, "Hey, is there something he's on? I don't know what he's on. What's going on here?" "We don't know. We don't know what it is. We don't know. He's not eating. He's losing weight. Blah, 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 blah." My sweet little old mother went home and did some research herself. This is coming from a woman that told her when she was small, "Elaine, you're just dumb." And like Brian, she took something that was said and it affected and it stopped her from moving and reaching abilities in her life that she actually has. Because of one word and one opinion of somebody that really don't matter. But it touched her, one of her senses. And what does those senses do? It's there to feed that flesh. And what it did is it just started to destroy her. My mama is so wonderful. She's a prayer warrior. She loves the Lord. That woman can pray and touch the Lord and can hear from God. But yet she feels like she's dumb as a stump sometimes. And she's so inferior. And she feels like she can't do nothing. When in reality, that woman's more smarter than she ever thought she was. But she did research on all these 100 pills that my daddy takes and found one medication that had every side effect that my daddy was facing. And they didn't even know why they put him on it. It was an extra sleeping pill. Then they had him on two extra blood pressure medicines that daddy didn't even have. He'd never been on those blood pressure medicines. So it was just one thing after another. My dad got home. I never saw my dad at a point, though, where it in the time of where every bit of his senses were being infected and everything seemed like it was going the other direction, not one time did I hear my dad say anything negative or anything to the point that was, "Oh, he got on pretty heavy with the nurses sometimes and they was ready for him to get out of that hospital. They said, Mr. Gray ain't nothing but a troublemaker." No, he's mad. He's angry. But everything that was happening was affecting every sense in his body. Now it's starting to get to his spirit. And he stopped. And every morning, my dad would say, "Son, I cannot do anything until we bring out the Word of God. Read the Word of God. I've got to have the Word of God being read to me. I've got to have something going encouraging in my life." Because he understood if he continued down this road, I believe my daddy would have done been 6 feet under. I mean, when you go through that, you want to die. So now my dad is faced with trying to find a doctor now to get the kidney ports out. They don't want him to do it there in Odessa where it's just right across the street. They want him to drive 6.5 hours. A 78-year-old man drives 6.5 hours to Dallas, Texas because they can't find a doctor to do it. And so my mother said yesterday, she said, "Sean, every time we turn around, what we hear, it's one thing after another. We've got to destroy this king of what we hear. We've got to let it be under subjection to the presence of God and to the blood of Jesus." People will tell you to give up or to quit. But you cannot allow what you hear to rob you of your faith. What is so amazing about faith is faith comes by hearing. And here's what is so crazy about faith. Faith is just believing in something. And what is scary is some of our faith is believing in a lie. But that's where our faith lies. Oh, we've got faith. Yeah, but your faith is in a lie. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, when our senses of hearing and our senses of smelling and tasting and seeing is being led by the Spirit of God, now we can start living in victory. Amen? Am I making a little sense here this morning? Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar tree. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. David was at a place where he needed an answer. He didn't wait for anyone else to give him advice. David went straight to the Lord. David listened for the sound of angels in the trees. And God delivered the battle into the hands of David, and he beat the Philistines. You see, God's telling you something to do. God's giving you answers. But we are so caught up in our fleshly desires and our fleshly emotions, we can't hear. Satan has deafened us from what the Spirit of God is saying. We can't hear. God, I know you're there and I know you're talking, but God, I can't hear. What do you want me to do? I know that whenever I was plagued with panic and anxiety attacks, and y'all have heard me tell this story 100 times, but I feel like I need to say it right now. I asked for everybody in prayer. I don't care if he was a drunken sinner. I was asking him to pray for me. I was desperate. And it was at the moment that I came to my desperation that I needed that answer, God says, "You ain't going to get it. Because you're trying to get the answer through them, and I'm trying to give you the answer now. And you won't get it until you touch me for yourself." And it was at that moment when I finally surrendered myself to him, and I began to cry out for God to help me, that I got my answer. Amen. Listen for the sound of heaven. Believe God for more than what you hear in the natural. The fifth king is what you see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The sense of sight could be the most damaging to faith. When you trust what you see, you abort the promises of God. You got the story of Jacob. Joseph's brothers brought the bloody coat they had dipped in goat's blood to Jacob. Jacob held the bloody coat and began to cry and said, "Without doubt." Everybody say, "Without doubt." "Without doubt, an evil beast has devoured my son." Without doubt, Brother Michael, is perfect faith. That's perfect faith, Brother Two. Without doubt. The Bible says, if you can say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, be cast into the sea," and doubt not in your heart, but believe what you ask, you shall have it. So this is perfect faith. Jacob had perfect faith in a lie. He had perfect faith in a lie. Jacob, some of you have more faith in a lie than you do the truth. We walk by what? By faith. That says we don't have to see it. I'm just going to believe it. I heard Grayson scream something out just down in service, and I'm so glad he did. Because Grayson, you are not the black sheep of the family. The Grayson Pierce family is not the black sheep of the Pierce. But I'll be George if the devil ain't made you want to think that, though, sometimes. Because it can go off of somebody's actions. I had somebody come to church not too long ago. They walked in, they sat down on the back pew. And all somebody did was just come and sit beside them because they didn't want to make a ruckus come to the front. And all this sweet sister of the Lord, she got up and walked out and texted me later and said, "I'll never be back to your church again." I said, "Well, what in the world happened? Why'd you get so offended?" What happened? Well, because this lady came and sat by me, and I didn't like the way she looked at me. She was looking at me and judging me, and she was sitting there, and she had all these things coming up in her mind. This is a prime example. That woman was sent there that day at that moment to be delivered from something. I believe that with all my heart. And because she allowed senses to captivate and control her, she missed out on something because of a lie that Satan made her believe that wasn't even there. The truth, Grayson, is this, and I don't mean to pick at you, but the truth is this. You are a powerhouse of God. If anybody can be beat down the way you have been beat down at a job and be around the spiritual warfare that you have been around and you're still standing with a sane mind, you ain't crazy, by the way. Don't let Satan tell you you are. You ain't lost your mind. You're very much of a man and a good daddy and a good mother. You got good children. Hey, that is the youngest son of a prophet of God. He has been through something. Grayson, are you perfect? I sure ain't perfect. What's so great? Grayson is, everybody knows probably what he's done wrong. He's open with it. But how many of you have been hitting stuff and thinking it's not going to be seen? And the Bible says in order to get victory, you must confess your sins. Now, don't be like one lady did. She came up and she says, I've walked the streets for many, many years. It was at a church, and she decided to say how fun it was at first. The pastor had to shut her up. Now, hold on. We want to confess your sins, but don't go too deep. Stop right there. You sinned, okay? We're good. But the Bible says to confess your sins, and you will be delivered. You'll be set free. I'm going to hurry. I know some of us are getting tired. Hold on. So be careful what we believe in. Make sure that what we're believing in is backed up by the Word of God. If somebody comes at me and tells me that, Trey, you're mean, disrespectful, and rude, and don't have him come preach because he is just a know-it-all, and he is stuck up, and blah, blah, blah. You know what some people would do? Hey, brother, I've heard this, that Trey is stuck up, and he's rude and disrespectful, and they'll add a little bit more to it. He loves to flirt with women. Well, that's not what was said to me, but okay, they're going to add that to the list. You're going to add it to the list a little bit. So don't have him at your church. Well, now what this man does, he's going, instead of going to God with it and say, well, now hold on, I felt really good about it when I met Trey at first. But now because somebody said something, oh. And here's what he will send somebody that's got some credibility to them to tell you that. The Bible says in the last day, even the very elect will be deceived. Now that don't mean all, you know, that means everybody that thinks they smart, think you got it all together, you're going to be deceived if you ain't careful. So now instead of obeying what the Lord told him to do in the first place and have Trey come preach for him, now he decided to listen to something that he don't even know was a lie or not because he didn't even know Trey. But now he's going to go ahead and take it upon himself to call somebody else and spread, hey, I've heard this. Now, I don't know. I'm not trying to gossip. Yeah, you are. Now you've allowed Satan to come in like a roaring lion to seeking whom he may devour. And he has just stopped the very anointing and the very revival that he's been praying for through a man of God that has been studying the Word of God, has been very obedient to the Word of God, has shown fruit from his tree. And because of one person's jealousy, maybe, who knows, because they're being controlled by it. Y'all, you see how this works? You see how this works? The phone call came. Yes, this is an illustration, but the phone call came, Anthony, because that man was jealous of something that he did or saw. Get control of our senses. Don't let our senses be ruled by hell. Let it be ruled by the Word of God. No matter how hard you try, you can try from this day forward to get away from your five senses, but you ain't going to get away from them. They're part of who we are. Brother, you are a good husband. You are a good man, and you make a good living. Don't let Satan ever tell you that you and your wife are never going to make it. And never tell you that you are a loser and you ain't never going to amount to nothing. That is not truth. There we go. Then we must believe the opposite. So it's important that we understand when we are hit with things like that, that, stop. I know what you're trying to do, Satan. You're trying to bring me down. You're trying to bring me to a place that I begin to react. We can blame the wife, we can blame the kids, but when it's all said and done, take your phone out, take a good picture of yourself, And look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, hey, you. Look at me, okay? You. I am going to control you today. You ain't going to control me. You see, because my God says that I can do exceedingly abundantly above all. There is nothing that I can't do as long as He is guiding my ship. So I'm going to tell you right now, these senses that are trying to control my life, back off. So I just felt to tell you that because I don't know what it is about these two people right up here in the front, but I love them. And thank you for letting your son come over and play. My Lord, they had a war in that house. They played Nerf wars. They got to have a good time. And when I walked in, I almost cried because I saw Leo with a joy on his face that I ain't seen him had ever. He loves his mommy and daddy, but he can only play so much with a 50-year-old and a 53-year-old. You know, mom and daddy can't slide down that rope, you know, like young people can. We try, but it takes us about 4 hours. But we do it. We got to destroy the 5 faith killers. We got to get them out of here, y'all. We got to take control of them. Amen? But there is a 6th one. There are 5 senses that we must use to determine what's going on around us in the natural world. We have to. But a believer has a 6th sense. And that 6th sense is called faith. No matter what your other senses tell you, trust in your sense of faith. Your faith through prayer and fasting and meditating on God's word will become greater than anything you experience through your 5 senses. You have to understand this. Faith is not saying that you won't have any problems. But faith says nothing can separate me from the love of God. And that's what our senses try to do. It tries to separate us from what we know is the truth. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. The only way to have that kind of faith is to stay connected through prayer and fasting. You must first understand that we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. The spirit part of you is eager to pray. It's eager to fast. It's eager to seek the face of God, Melissa. It wants to be in the presence of God. And anything else that will draw us closer to God. Amen. And to give us victory in our life. However, your flesh gets absolutely nothing out of spiritual things. Your flesh does not get anything by spiritual things. The flesh only thrives if it is fed a balanced diet from the 6 faith killers. Our 5 senses, we cannot walk away from them. They are part of who we are. However, we can control them. Many people are satisfied with the fact that Jesus died for their sins and that they are going to go to heaven. They don't care. They are living a defeated life. They don't care. I'm saved. The Lord died on the cross for me. Let's all stand our feet. And last Sunday I preached, because you were hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And the sad part about our senses that we have, and y'all, it's really important that we understand this. You cannot just let those go. You can't go and have surgery and get your senses taken away. They're there. My dad has one eye. He's got one good ear. But those senses, those 2 that he has left in his body, his touch, he can't really touch anymore like he can, or maybe it's just his feet, but they still affect him. But he understands he's got to stay in the Word, Trey. I can't stop the Word of God. I've got to keep it read to me. I've got to keep it in me, because if I let down one bit, some of you come here right now and you're at your wit's end. You really are. You're at your wit's end. You grind your teeth at night when you sleep. You are at your wit's end. God, what do I do? Lord, I've seen this. I've heard this. I've been deceived by things in my life. I've been deceived by this person. I've been deceived by that person. I've been told things that are not true. And I've been taken into conversations that I need to be careful about, conversations you're taken into. Amen? But they seem not to care that they are living a defeated lives. Those that think, because I'm saved, I'm now going to heaven. They have, in essence, accepted defeat here on earth and look forward to their ultimate rest in heaven. However, that's not the kind of life that God desires for you and me, Trey. The Bible says that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God says, I have come. I have come that there may be life and that you may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Everybody say, more abundantly. You have to overcome the five kings. I'm going to leave you with this story. There was a man by the name of, if I can pull it up here, I'm sorry. You know, computers are great, but they're also the work of the devil sometimes. His name was Glenn Cunningham. He was born in 1909 in Kansas, Atlanta, Kansas. And when he was 8 years old, him and his brother and a friend was at the schoolhouse when they had the stoves inside their amber. And they decided it was cold that morning. And so they decided to put some fire in there. And it was young kids. He was 8 and his brother was 13 years old. And they grabbed what they thought was kerosene and it was gas. And they put it in that stove and they lit it up. When it did, it exploded, killing his 13-year-old brother and burning his legs to the point that, he just wasn't going to be able to walk anymore. Went to the hospital, and the doctors recommended amputating his legs because he was so burnt and so scarred. There was no flesh hardly left on him. And they said, what's going to happen is an infection's going to set in. We're going to have to take his legs. Now, here his parents are seeing and hearing. They're smelling the burnt flesh. They're probably tasting the smoke that they just pulled their son out of. All their senses is being infected, is being affected by this tragedy. They're having to bury their 13-year-old son. And all their his parents could do is this. Doctor, if you don't mind, let's give it one more day. The doctor said, we don't need to give it a day. There's no way. He's not going to make it. His legs are going to have infection. Just give us one day. So the next day came. Nothing changed. His legs were still the same. They said, Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham, if we don't do something quickly, his infection's going to set in. It's going to take your other son if we're not careful. We need to cut his legs off. They said, give us another day. So they gave her another day, and this went on for 2 weeks. Because, see, what their parents saw was, God says he wants more for me and my son. This is not where God wants to settle. So, no, we're going to speak unto this right here, that I'm going to believe God has something more abundantly for my son. So give us another 2 weeks, they said. It's okay, we'll give you 2 more weeks. Amazingly enough, though, I forgot the times that had elapsed, but all of a sudden, new skin began to grow on his legs. The infection didn't set in. All of a sudden, a few more weeks went by, Trey, and Mr. Cunningham began to get up out of the bed, and it began to try to walk. And another 6 months to a year or time passed by, and all of a sudden he's doing a little bit of walking. Why? Because somebody in his life said, there is more for this. See, wherever you are right now, understand, God is saying, don't settle for where you are. There is more for you. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by what you hear. Don't go by what's bitter to your mouth right now. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Word of God. What is so great about Glenn Cunningham is he became one of the fastest runners in the world. He broke one record after another. Some records they couldn't even put them down because when they had him do the race, they did it and some rules and laws were set up and it affected the outcome. But still in all, he beat the number. And he lived until 1988 when he passed away at 78 years old as a professor.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.